Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. So I'd love to talk to you more about my martial arts abilities, but I'd like to talk to you about something that, a little, maybe not quite as entertaining. I'd like to talk to you about sin. And when I think about sin, the image comes to my mind. It's laid in the Old Testament. You can also see it in later literature. What I think of is I think of Lucifer, you know, the great archangel, rebelling against God and kind of going, well, I don't need you anymore, and kind of shaking his fist at heaven and setting up his own independent kingdom. And then for you, those of you who are philosophically inclined, I think of the philosopher Nietzsche is going, God is not just dead, we have killed him. And we are going to become the Superman and make our own meaning of life. That's what I think of when I think of sin. But if you read St. Augustine, who's kind of like the expert, our expert on sin, and he says, you know what? His years of, not just as a thinker, but his years of being a parish priest and eventually and as a bishop, he says, you know what? Sin, he said, for the most part, it's kind of sad. He said, when you see people, involved in sinning, it's mostly associated with sadness and grief and with suffering. And I guess, I mean, if you think about it, breaking the Ten Commandments doesn't generally bring a lot of happiness, right? So just think of kind of ordinary things like, I don't know, if somebody takes money out of the till to feed their gambling habit. And it's not like we're judging other people. We're all looking at ourselves at the same time. Say somebody does that, or say somebody has some kind of, they break their marriage vows, or let's say they give in to all their worst intentions. Let's just go through the list of the Ten Commandments, and you're going, this is not a formula to a happy life. Actually, St. Augustine is right. If we watch it, we watch it ourselves, we watch it in other people's lives, sin leads to sadness. And Augustine says, you know, it's just heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see what happens to us when we violate the way of life God has set out for us. It's not a way to be happy. It is, however, an excellent way, or you think of all these things, you know, that are listed in the Ten Commandments, for example. Violating these things is an excellent way to, number one, isolate yourself from other people, and number two, to destroy your relationships with other people. I think we can all probably all agree on that, right? So, Augustine goes on. I'm really talking about the book of Joel here. That's where I'm going with this. But Augustine goes on, and he goes, sometimes the punishment for sin is something dramatic. Like, God may do something to intervene to punish us. Most of the time, he says, however, the punishment for sin, most of the time, sin is its own punishment because it does isolate it. It does isolate it from others. It does make us unhappy. It does break our relationships with other people. And it, at least if we try to, it can break our relationship with God himself. So the book of Joel has an image for this, and that is locusts. We don't actually know what's happening historically here, because the book of Joel is kind of from an obscure point of time, so we don't know if he's talking about literal locusts, if he's talking about the Babylonian army, whatever it is, but the point is still the same. If you violate if we violate God's will and turn against God and we turn against other people, it's like an attack of locusts. And that what do locusts do? They eat everything up, they destroy everything, and then Joel says they leave themselves in a rotting pile. It's like Joel is saying, sin eats everything up and leaves everything kind of destroyed. So if you know any verses from Joel, you might think, oh, I don't know any verses from Joel. If you do, it might be this. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. Is that familiar with anybody? I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. In other words, all that time that was wasted, all those years that were consumed by the swarming locusts, I'm giving back to you. Literally, the years that were destroyed, the time they spent, you know, turning inward on yourself and turning against other people and turning against God, all the years that were decimated, I'm going to give those years back to you, he says to his people. And this is the remarkable part. And it's this. He doesn't say, I'm going to give back the years to those people who've had a series of terrible events that have happened in their lives that are not their fault. I can certainly say that. He's saying this to the people who have brought this all on themselves. The years that you spent violating and destroying and making your life sad, I'm going to give you back those years that you brought upon yourselves. Here's the other part of Joel that you may recognize. This part I know everybody recognizes. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, I know you know that because we read it on Pentecost Sunday every year. So who is that offered to? This outpouring of God's spirit where people will break into prophecies and see visions and God's will be so clear to them that it's like he's that close. Who's that being offered to? It's being offered to these same people who have made such a disaster of their lives, saying, I'll restore to you those years, and I'm going to bring you so close to me that your spirit will be so full that it's almost like it's bursting over. There is something else, though, and it's something that Augustine says, and is in Joel as well, and it's this. It's true. When we do make a habit of turning against God's will, it's sad and it's destructive, but there is something else at work if we are persistent, and it's this. C.S. Lewis uses this image. It's like we curve in on ourselves. We kind of isolate ourselves and we hang on to it like we're Gollum hanging on to the ring. And if you know Lord of the Rings, it's kind of like that. Like, this is destroying it. We're kind of hanging on to it out of a kind of weird sort of pride. So what can we do? Remember when you're a kid and you're wrestling with another kid? And what do you do when you're going, okay, you win, let go of me? You cry uncle, right? You're going, I give up. And so, is the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee we just heard, we could kind of set it up like, oh yeah, the tax collector is the good guy and the Pharisee is the bad guy. It's not at all. The tax collector is a really bad guy. He's a collaborator. He's some kind of extortionist. He's a really bad person. But the thing about him is he admitted defeat. That is, he says, yeah, the locusts have consumed me. I did it to myself. but I cry uncle, I give up. And what words does he say? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. So is there any hope? Is there any hope for, you know, if there's a consistent pattern of sin, self-defeating behavior, is there any hope? Yeah, it's simple. It's this, Lord, have mercy. No magic formula. We simply say to God, you know what? I've spectacularly defeated myself. And we turn to the Lord and say, yeah, Lord, have mercy on me. And the Lord goes, I will restore the years that you have lost, and I will fill you with my Spirit. I will give you blessing upon blessing. All you need to say is, Lord, help me. And he delights in us. He wants to be with us. He does not want to be without us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you look upon us as your children, and you love us, and you want nothing more than to be with us. Look with compassion upon all your people. Look compassion on us, and look on compassion on those we know whose lives might be affected by behavior which doesn't bring them happiness, Lord. We ask you to have mercy on all of us and bring us to that joy and delight which you intended for us from the beginning of creation. We thank you for this, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.